As you know, today is the 69th anniversary of the founding of the State of Israel. And let me share a few ideas with you as we reflect on the importance of this day. As you all know, I'm a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, and as you all know, the Rav was a religious Zionist. In fact, he was the official head of the religious Zionists of America for many, many, many years. It was a major break with his family. The Briskers in Europe had been anti-Zionists, but the Rav decided long, ago, and in terms of hours and years and all of that, decided long ago that he, in fact, would embrace not only Eretz Yisrael, which everybody embraces, but Medinat Yisrael. So Rav Soloveitchik stressed over and over and over again throughout his life, once he entered the clear Zionist arena, that Medinat Yisrael is a matana gemura me'et Hashem. It's an absolute, total, complete promise and gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, and this I remember very clearly, and many of us remember what the Cold War was really about, okay? He said, when in your entire life have you ever seen Russia and the United States agree about anything at the United Nations? He said, if that wasn't Hashgacha Pratit, nothing was, and nothing ever could be. That's the first idea. Second idea that I want to share with you is that in our day and age, we tend to take Medinat Yisrael for granted. We do. And part of that is that if you're willing to put down the requisite amount of money, I guess anywhere from what, $1,200 to $2,200, depending on the kind of ticket you get, you can get on a plane and go to Eretz Yisrael and go to Medinat Yisrael. So it's not like in the time of Rabbeinu, Yehuda Halevi, where it was a terribly difficult journey and so on and so forth, or the time of the Ramban, or even the 19th century, where it was a dangerous trip. Today we just get on a plane, okay? And wherever you go in Israel, if you try to speak Ivrit, myself included, immediately speak English. Okay? And everybody speaks English. So you have a huge comfort zone. And we take it for granted. Let me tell you, in a sense, how we can avoid that. And this is borrowed from the Rav, but it's my own application. Avram Avinu, when he talks to the Chittim to buy a kever for Sarah, right, for Sarah Imenu, what does he say to them? Do you remember the famous words? He says, Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. I'm a ger and I'm a toshav with you or amongst you. So what's a ger mean? I'm sojourning. This is not my time to have Eretz Yisrael. But I'm a toshav. I'm living here, and eventually, Ozarecha etein et haaretz hazot, that for all eternity, eventually, the land's going to be ours. So, in a sense, said Rav Soloveitchik, Avraham always had a dual identity. He was a ger, but yet he was a dweller. The Rav also pointed out a number of times, and certainly in his most recent one of his most recent books that was published posthumously, it was about Abraham, it was called Abraham's Journey. It's an outstanding, accessible book by the Rav. Okay, published as again posthumously. So he said, really, that in many ways, Abraham is not just the founder of Judaism, but he sets the tone for Judaism for all time to come. Because I'm going to ask you an interesting question. If you're going to compare Avraham to Moshe, in some ways, who comes across, in some ways, as the more spiritual of the two? It's going to be Avraham. Why? Moshe is clearly Moshe Rabbeinu. And as a Navi, unequaled. But as a person who was willing to go to the ultimate degree in the Akedah, there's no one like Avraham Avinu. No one else was ever tested like that. No one else really had to, in a sense, take everything that he learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, turn it on its head, and say, if this is what you command, this is what I'm going to do. And that's why the text says, "Va'Elokim nisa et Avraham," the one, the only God that exists. So in a very real sense, Avraham really sets the spiritual tone for all, and Sarah, don't leave her out, because as Rav Soloveitchik pointed out many, many times, once Sarah passes, Avraham becomes a historical footnote. Mm-hmm. Avraham is only Avraham when there's Sarah. She passes, the story of Avraham is no more, just his patira, mm-hmm. his death. So it's with Avraham and Sarah, we have the true spiritual heads of Judaism for all time to come. So with that, let me bring it all together. Ger v'toshav anochi imachem isn't just something that Avraham Avinu had regarding Eretz Yisrael and Medina today, Medinat Yisrael. It's an attitude that we need to have as well. We need to feel, and it's hard, if you've ever been in Israel for any length of time, the first time you go to the Kotel, it's incredible, it's exciting, it's amazing, you're crying, you don't know what to do with it. The 10th, the 12th, the 20th time you go there, I'm going to the Kotel, I'll see you later. Okay? Is it the same experience? The short answer, of course, is not. But even if you live in Medinat Yisrael, even if you live there, if you can, in a sense, maintain a little bit of distance and not take it for granted. Yes, you're a toshav, and yes, we can all go there whenever we so desire. But the attitude that we have to always maintain is, but it's still, we're always a little bit distant. And even when the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt, Mashiach comes, b'mehrav yameinu, I'm telling you, that's the attitude that we have to take. And that way we'll never forget that Medinat Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, it's a matana gemura me'et Hashem. And as we said today, we said Hallel today, right? Me'et Hashem ayat ha'zot, hi neflat ye'ne'nu, and zeh hayom asa Hashem nagila v'nismechavo. And that, in my mind, is Yom Ha'atzmaut. I just wanted to share that with you. Okay, and happy birthday, Israel. Right? Let's continue. So now we're up to Perek He, Pasuk Tet. And the people on the scene once again, Haman and Achashverosh and Esther. And at this point, Haman knows that he's going to another Suda. And he feels amazing. Why? Because it's only Haman and Achashverosh. Okay? And you can bet your bottom dollar what's happening with Haman on the psychological level.
His ego.
His ego is just... he's floating. Okay? So let's see what it says. V'yetze Haman b'yom ahu sameach v'tov lev. And Haman went out on that day, right, the day when he knows he's coming to another Suda, another Mishteh, with the queen and the king, or the king and the queen, right, that day he goes out, Sameach V'Tov Lev. Now, it's very interesting. The words Bayom Ahu aren't necessary at all, for those of you who know Hebrew. V'yetze Haman, Sameach V'Tov Lev. Yes? He went out happy and feeling good. Bayom Ahu. Of course, when did he go out? We know that. So what is the Megillah teaching us?
talking about maybe that they're talking about that he left the day, the party before Happy, so we know that it's the coming up party and not the one that he just left?
No. He left that party, but that's why it says Vayetze. Because the previous pasuk said already that tomorrow is going to be the Suda. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you go, if you look on page 4, guys, okay, to the Malbim, if you look over there, we're going to see the Malbim has an incredible analysis of what's going on here. And he suggests that really Haman is never a happy individual for a very long time. Look what it says. The Malbim says, V'yetzi Haman, okay, Misaper Genut HaRasha Hazeh, that this is telling us, like a story, the great embarrassment of this evil individual, V'ro'ah T'chunato, and that basically, we would say, in sort of everyday language, he was rotten to the core. He was miserable. Because, you ready? Only the Malbim. Fascinatingly, the Malbim lives 1809 to 1879, 47 years before, right, 1809 is 47 years before Freud is born. But listen, because I thought this was really interesting, listen to the psychological insight that he has here. Look what he says. She'ad ata b'chol hama'alot asher ala lo sameach mi'amav. That until this point, even though he was raised and raised and raised, whatever level he had achieved, he was never happy his entire life until today. Ki kol ma'ala shehisik hayam evakesh ma she'achareha. Because he was never satisfied. Each step he had been fortunate enough to achieve, where, you know, for example, I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys, Marissa Mayer is leaving Yahoo, okay? Her golden parachute is $152 million, okay? I said to Arlene when I read this, I said, let them hire me. They can give me a golden parachute. I'll take 10%.
1%?
Okay, I'll take 1%. 1.5 isn't so bad either. Imagine leaving, and when you leave, $152 million. So this is like Haman. He's just, what's next? What's next? The Hayata Ma'ala Kodemet Ketana Be'enav. And whatever took place becomes worthless. In fact, any person you ever get a sense of who says, what'd you do for me today? What do you know? If you were in the dating world, what did that tell you right away?
Loser.
Okay? You don't need such a guy. Okay, or vice versa, you know, if I'm on the other side of the fence. Terrible idea. All you did is bring me 3, you know, roses. I expected a dozen. Great idea. Okay? So hayata ma'ala kodamek katana be'enav, it was nothing. Rak hayom! Just today! That's why again, look at the genius of the Malbim. Bayom ahu, rak hayom ahu, she'igil ketzat ha'gedola va'kavod. Okay? And here are the key words. Look at his analysis. Liyot shaveh im Hamelech. He finally reached the level where he was king-like. Because it was only Haman and Achashverosh that made it to the party. Az haya hayom arishon sheyatza sameach v'tov lev. This is the first day in his entire life. What an ingrate. What a miserable human being. Okay? And not only that, look what the next piece is. Ulam Gamzot lo nimshach harbe. Even this feeling didn't last very long, because you guys all know what's happening. Ki ach ka'asher ra'a Mordechai hit hafchu machshavatav liagon v'anacha. He was such a weak individual that as soon as he had the problem of Mordechai, he wouldn't gesticulate, you know, all kinds of things before him, and he wouldn't bow down to him and genuflect the whole nine years. Wouldn't do any of that. because Mordechai wouldn't do that. Then look what it says. His mind was turned to misery and to despondency. Amazing idea. Now, what do we say, of course, in Pirkei Avot, guys? What do we say? Right? Ezehu Asher? Sameach Bechelko. Right? That's what we say. Okay? Now, all of us, probably by this stage of our lives, have gotten to a point, if we're relatively happy, where we're able to look in the mirror and say, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't want me to be a multi-billionaire. I can deal with that. Right? Instead, you made me a billionaire in other ways. I have a healthy family. I have people that love me. You know, however we look at the world. Right? So basically, what I wanted to just say very, very quickly, and this is, I could talk just about this, okay? But I don't want to go too far out of my field of Rabbanus and, you know, go into psychology. But very simply, what are we seeing by these two statements, one from the Malbim and one from Pirkei Avot? So there's really happiness that's internal. And if you have internal happiness, then what are your areas of focus in your life? People, values, and authentic goals. Okay? And that's on the immediate happiness level. But first and foremost, as Joan said, Kutcher Bricho. Right? First and foremost. But if you're if a person's on the Haman level, all he cares about what? Kavod, Tava, objects. Right? That's all he cares about. And the truth is, you're never going to have, in quotation marks, enough objects. And that's why he was never happy. Now, I think that's psychological brilliance to say that. And again, it's very interesting. It's the brilliance of the Torah that he's sharing with us. So anyway, v'yesei Haman b'yom ahu, sameach v'tov lev, karot Haman et Mordechai? Bingo! What happens? All his so-called happiness collapses. B'sha'ar HaMelech, there was Mordechai in the Sha'ar HaMelech, v'lo kav, v'lo zah, he didn't rise and he didn't even stir mimenu from before him. V'malei Haman amordechai, Chema. Haman became filled with what? Wrath. Not just even kas. Wrath. Right? He was overwhelmed. Next. V'yitapek Haman. And Haman, pasuk yud, restrained himself. So this is the one other mephoresh I'm bringing in tonight. Rashi says, why did he restrain himself? Because the king had not given him any permission to take care of Mordechai his way. That's what this whole piece is about. Why does Haman come before Ahasuerus? To get that permission. Right? So he held himself back. V'yavo el beta.
But if someone has such an ego, they're just not going to do things on themselves. If he thinks he's king-like, why wouldn't he just take things into his own hands? Wow. If he was such a rasha.
Well, the king himself is not such a piece of work. He is a piece of work.
It's a great question, but there's a hint. Let's go back to Pasuk Tet. Uchirot Haman et Mordechai v'sha'ar HaMelech. He was in one of the inner parts leading up to Ahasuerus. That meant he was chashuv. So even though he was the king's Mishneh LeMelech, he couldn't go kill someone who was chashuv without getting the king out of sight. The king would be angry. Mm-hmm. That's basically some Malbim thinking. Okay, I can't show exactly where, but I studied that. Okay, so at any rate, he's filled with wrath. And then v'yitapeka, but it was a good question. It really was a good question. That's why the Malbim dealt with it, because it's such a good question. V'yitapeka man, he held himself back. V'yavo el beito, and he went home. V'yishlach, and he sent forth. V'yave, and he brought et ohavav v'et zeresh ishto. He brought all of his, the people who loved him and adored him. Obviously, they were just what everybody really, they were just sycophants. You know, they were just, you know, whatever you say, yeah, Haman, you're the best. Okay? But nonetheless, even if you take it at face value, I found it fascinating, and this is my own. Nobody says this.
Zeresh isn't part of the Ahava.
Ah, good for you. Zeresh comes in second. Zeresh comes in second. He called for his Ohavav and Zeresh Ishto. Now, I was thinking, if you wanted to, there's really no reason to give Haman the benefit of the doubt. I mean, it's like giving Osama bin Laden the benefit of the doubt. Okay, I wouldn't do that either. Okay, but apparently, if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, why Zeresh second? But I don't think so. I really think that, really, especially in those days, she was, you know, she was another what?
Was reserved for his male friends.
Correct. Right? She was just another object.
Just to serve him.
That was it. That was his mentality for sure. That's what I really think.
But wasn't it the old men's mentality then, that women would just there to serve them?
Very much. I know all. Well, I learned from a very brilliant woman, anytime you say all, you're in trouble. Okay, I won't tell you who it is. You guys have to figure that out.
Most of the women in that time were servants to their husbands.
Yeah, and especially it's an Eastern, Middle East cultural kind of thing. And in fact, okay, I'll leave it there because I'll get myself into trouble. But yes. Yes, more or less. But I don't think so on a certain level, because I know, and you can see in Tanakh, many of the time, most of the time, I think Jewish women were always honored. I mean, Shlomo Melech didn't write Eshet Chayil Me'Imsa, okay, because women weren't valued. Okay, and Chazal didn't say Mishum Nashim Sitkani Yod Migalu Avetein Mimitzrayim because women weren't valued. Okay, if you want, can you be very tendentious and show me all kinds of other things? Yeah, you can. But I'd prefer to look at the best rather than things that would be very, very specifically cultural bound. However, when it comes to someone like Haman, Zeresh, I think, was just another object in his rich otsar of objects.
But she came up with the idea.
Hold on. And then I don't want to give it away. All right, here, you're out.
But, I thought you'd bless people.
No, you. You know, like, I don't understand. Like, I can see you now, you're reading a murder mystery. The shot rang out, right? Last line. And that's why they caught Bill. You know, I mean, don't you want to know what's going on? Okay, so just wait a sec. All right, Yud Aleph. V'yisaper lahem Haman et kavod Oshro. Verov Banav. Okay? So, what did he do? Haman began to relate to everybody, okay, his great honor, all of his riches, and the great number of children he had. V'yed kol asher gidlo ha-melech, and how the king had raised him to the highest level. V'yed asher niso al-sarim, how he was over all the other princes, and the Avdei HaMelech and the servants of the king. Okay? So go to the Malbim, Yud Aleph. So Malbim asks a really good question. And what I want you to do is go all the way down to this, because of the interest of time, to the third to the last line in Yud Aleph, where it says, V'ya'an. Do you guys see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he says, V'ya'an sha'atzlachat hazaman yiyeh b'shlosha inyanim. Because success at a particular time is measured via three things. Okay? Ribui, in other words, for somebody who's involved with objects and kavod and ta'ava. Ribui akinyanim, the more objects you have, must mean that's you're a better person. Okay? You know, you have a Mercedes, you have a Cadillac, or a next door neighbor has a Ford. V'habanim, right? Banim, not because they're your future and so forth. Like Rav Soloveitchik says, the first time a grandfather holds a grandchild, he's overwhelmed. Why? Because the grandchild represents the past, the present, and the future. And what you're doing when you hold your grandchild is that you've created a bridge to the past, the present, and the future.
It's continuity,
and that's why it's overwhelming. That's why it's overwhelming. But that's not what excited Haman. It's just like, I have a lot of children. Look how powerful I am.
More possessions.
V'hashara, and being powerful, being prince-like. L'chein hishtabech b'shloshet eila. Therefore, bedafka, he talked about these three things. Ki b'chulon hitzliach, and all of them he was successful. L'alzeh, kavod, osho, v'robanav, v'hashagid lo ha-melech. So therefore, these were the things, says the Malbi, he bedafka focused upon. Okay. Got a little more Vayter here. That was Yud Aleph. Yud Bet. So, Vayomer Haman, Af lo hevia Esther Hamalka im Hamelech. Esther didn't bring anybody else with, Esther the queen didn't bring anybody else with the king, right? Ela Mishte, to the party, Asher Asata that she made, Ki Imoti. Right? He certainly sounds just like the kind of person you'd like to know. Ki Imoti! Right, and it stops there, by the way. If you look under the word OT, there's an etnacht. That's like a whole idea. We don't, that's it. I'm the great, you know, who does he remind you of? Okay, who does he remind, not in terms of his reshoot, necessarily. How many of you remember Cassius Clay?
Oh,
Muhammad Ali.
The greatest.
I'm the greatest!
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Right? I remember it like yesterday. Okay? Vigam lemachar. And tomorrow, he says, not only did I go to that party today, but tomorrow, ani karula imamelech. So this is what we call, by the way, total, complete, absolute visions of grandeur. Okay? Because now, of course, as you already know, right? And the Gemara says this so beautifully. If you shake a bottle that has one or two coins in it, does it make a lot of noise or a little bit of noise?
It makes a lot of noise
because there's almost nothing in it. If you shake the same bottle that's filled to the brim, it doesn't make much noise at all, right? And that's a big muscle about human beings. Anybody who says, it's a pleasure for you to have met me, anybody who's always bragging, like, do you know who I am? I am, you know. Okay, it reminds you, I don't know if you ever saw the Mikado, is that song, defer, defer to the Lord High Executioner. That's who Haman is like, okay? And he's, you know, he's a nebuch, he's a nothing, but he's got this position. And being the executioner, he's in a rather powerful position. That's who we're dealing with, visions of grandeur. On his own, he's a nothing. But he thinks, because of political machinations, he's been raised to where he is, he thinks he's a something. Okay, you ready? V'chol zeh einenu shoveli. None of this is worth anything to me. Can you imagine? It's like $152 million is a golden parachute. None of this is worth anything to me. B'chol et asher ani ra'eh et Mordechai Yehudi yoshev b'shar ha-melech. As long as I see Mordechai sitting in the Shar ha-melech, a position of respect, and what's the words that are kind of missing in the pasuk? That, and he doesn't
bow down
to me.
It's eating at him.
Okay? All right? I was going to do the Malbi, but I want to do some of the other stuff in the new parak. Let's go weiter. Last pasuk. Now, interesting. Chaya Burke. What a smart lady here. Because you said, notice that in this case, Zeresh becomes the one who gives the Eitzah. Look what happens in the pasuk. The roles are reversed. Who comes first in this pasuk?
Zeresh.
And then Ohavav. Why? Because Zeresh is suddenly raised in the esteem of Haman. It's a nuanced way of telling us that. So V'tomer lo, Zeresh Ishto. And Zeresh Ishto said to him, to Haman. V'chol ha'avav. And all of his beloved ones. I got a great idea. Ya'asu eitz, gavoa chamishim ama. Build a, basically, a gallows, 50 cubits high. U'beboker emor lamelech. And tomorrow, say to the king. Why does he have to say to the king, guys? Because we already outlined that. He didn't have permission otherwise. Say to the king what you want to do, because that's missing from the pasuk. V'yitlu et Mordechai, a love, and hang Mordechai on it. Uvo im ha'melech el ha'mishte ha'semech. Then you go to the party happy because you just murdered somebody.
She's such a nice woman.
Right. You know what? I would never give Haman shlishi. Okay? V'yitav ha'davar lifnei Haman. And it was a great idea to Haman. Okay? V'yas ha'etz, and he made it. Okay? Now, the Malbim, I'll just say this on the outside because I want to get into the sixth parak. The Malbim says that Zeresh actually was very brilliant. Why? Because by doing it this way, it doesn't look like it's a pagam, like it's a shot against her husband, but rather, right, because that would be if he did it against a Yehudi Echad. But no, he's doing it specifically against Mordechai. But not ostensibly because he's Jewish, simply because he's violating the law. What's the law? Bad out to Haman. But so it's very, very interesting the way she said it. Right? Talk to the king, okay? And about this problem, v'yitlu et Mordechai. Notice it does not say Mordechai ha-yehudi. Okay? Very interesting, right? All right. Let's go on. Parak Shishi. Nobody can tell me. They don't have a copy. Please pass this around.
I don't have a copy.
I would not leave you out. There you go. All right? And this is for Naomi, and when she comes next week, God willing. Okay. Now, here we go. Fascinating, unbelievable stuff. It may be, I want to just, because I'm so excited, I don't even know what to say. It may be that the Malbim's comment on the second pasuk in this parak, in parak Vav, may be one of the most amazing things you've ever heard. Ever. And what the Malbim says is such a chidush that if I were to say it on my own, you guys would be right to find rocks and throw it at me. But it's the Malbim who says it. And if the Malbim says it, then we just look at it as searing brilliance. Okay? But I got to the first pasuk first. B'layla hu nedada shanat hamelech. On that night, what night? Motzi the Mishta Harishon, right? So that night, the king had trouble sleeping. Literally, the king's sleep sort of went in and out. You guys remember a little bit of the science you might have done? And you saw a wave. Remember those old machines? You saw a sign. I think it was called a sine wave, right? It was green. It was a black screen, right? And it was on every single sci-fi flick you ever saw in your whole life until the 1960s, right? So that's what it was like. It was the king was going in and out of sleep, in and out of sleep. He couldn't sleep. You know, it's very tough being the king. Okay. Vayomer lahavi et seif. Now, this is like amazing stuff too. I'm so excited by this. I wanted to share it with you. Vayomer lahavi et sefer azichronot. Divrei Hayamim, okay, and he said, "Bring the book of memories, the words of the days, the Yu Nikraim, Lifnei Hamelech, and have them read before the king." Now, right away, and this is something usually that Lillian would mention. There's a problem here. If it says Sefer HaZichronot, why does it have to say Divrei Hayamim? Mm-hmm. And if it says Divrei Hayamim, why does it have to say Sefer HaZichronot? what's going on. So let's look at this brilliant bulbing. This is not the one that is going to overwhelm you. The one that's going to overwhelm you is the second one. Go down.
It's a big one.
Go down 7 lines. How do I know it's 7? I didn't just count them. I counted them because I knew we might be a little pressed, and I wanted to make sure we got everything in. See what it says for Li Nira?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. First of all, what are we talking about? What are these Divrei Hayamim? What's Divrei Hayamim? So you guys, those who know a little Tanakh.
Like a diary?
It's Chronicles. In English, it's usually called Chronicles. Okay? It's pretty much a recapitulation of parts of Malachim Aleph and Malachim Bet, with a few other parts of genealogy and so forth put in when we're talking about Tanakh. But what do we mean by Divrei Hayamim when we're not talking about Tanakh? So ready? Here he goes. Here's what the Malachim tells you what it was. V'li nira ki hayu shnei divarim hayamim. Truth was, there were really 2 different books of Chronicles that Achashverosh had access to. Divrei Hayamim, shenichtav lezichron, ledor acharon, korot ha-melech. The first one was just a history statement. I'll translate the literal words here. It says, it was written as a remembrance for the upcoming generations regarding what took place for the king, Uma'asav, Va'alilotav, and his actions and his greatness, hein tov, hein ra, whatever he did, good or bad. Okay? V'divrei hayamim hazeh lo haya biyad ha-melech. Interesting. This one, the king had no direct access to. Who had it? Haman. Rak biyad ha-mishneh. Let me ask you something. If you were Haman and you hated, as you used to say when you were a kid, just like I did, you hated Mordechai's guts. And he got written down into the Sefer Divrei Hayamim, and you had control over it. What would you do with it?
Get rid of the evidence.
Expunge it. Ah! Now it's getting... See? This is getting Sherlock Holmes-like. It's fascinating. That's Divrei Hayamim number 1. Number 2. Divrei Hayamim number 2. Shenichtav livnei ha-melech. It was written before the king.
Mm-hmm.
She not just stama history, but rather she yell zikaron el hamelech atzmo, so the king himself would have a record of what took place. Who did not have access to that? So whose name's going to stay in there? You guys are brilliant. Good. V'zenikra sefer zikronot divrei hayamim. That's why it gets the 2-part name. It's Zichronot for who? Achashverosh. It's Divrei Hayamim in a sense that it follows a certain form. Okay? Shehaya tachlito lemazkeret divarim. The whole purpose of it was to remember what took place. Skip all the way down to the 2nd from the last line of this one where the word aval. You guys see it? Okay. Last word on the line. Aval. B'sefer zichronot shehu divrei hayamim asher haya tachat yad ha-melech sham haya katuf ha-emet. There.
Two sets of books.
Right?
He's
cooking the books. Exactly. Okay, so in the one that Achashverosh had, the truth was there. And you ready? I couldn't say this even myself. It's the Malbim. Shemordecha haya ha-magid. And it said there that Mordechai was the one who told the truth about the plot against the king. Right? Al-Ze'amar. And regarding that, it also said, and that comes to the next pasuk. The next pasuk is going to knock your socks off. All right, pasuk bet. V'yimatzei katuv. Okay? And it was found written. Asher higid Mordechai al-Bigata v'teresh. Shnei Sirisei HaMelech Mishomrei Hasaf. And it was found therein, in the king's version. Sefer Zichronot Divrei Hayamim. Right. That what? It was written there regarding Mordechai. If you want to, if you have a pen with you, put stars and twinkle toes, whatever you want, all around the word Mordechai. Because the reason why it's so important, Mordechai, because what's missing in the other version?
What's his name?
In fact, who was put into the other version?
Haman.
That's why he thought he was talking about him.
But now, v'yamatzekatuv asher higid Mordechai.
Revisionist.
And it was found that Mordechai was the one. Who found suddenly out of nowhere that Mordechai was the one? Achashverosh. Right? And I'm going to show you an insight, because only the Malbim could say this. It's such brilliance. Okay? I shared Bikshu Lishloach Yad B'melech Achashverosh that Mordechai was the one who said that it was Bigata and Teresh who had wanted to kill the king. Now look at the Malbim, guys. This Malbim is nothing less than transformative. I never saw this in my entire life. And that's why I think you're going to love it. Because it's that fresh. It's that different to look. V'yimatzei katuv. Ki misham lo nimchach shem Mordechai. Because from there, from this version, the name of Mordechai was not expurgated. It was not expunged. Now, I never would have imagined this was pshat. Okay? Rak nimsa katuv ki lo haman haya hamagid. It only, you know, what the king knew about is, right, that it was none other than Haman, right? Rak asher higid Mordechai. That it was none other than Haman who, according to the Malbim, had been the one who had saved the king. All right, but now when the king hears the real story, you ready? Only the Malbim could say this. Umizeno da lamelech. Suddenly, the king now knew. Ki kol ma shegadal et Haman, that the entire cause from having raised Haman, bichashvo shuaya. This is the key. Now, suddenly the king realized that the whole reason why he had raised Haman to this lofty level was because he thought until this moment it was Haman who had saved his life. He realized now the whole thing was one big lie. Is this not a brilliant Malbim? When I read it, I was glad. I had been drinking coffee a few moments beforehand. If I had read this while I was drinking coffee,
it would spit out.
I don't know. I hope it won't be in front of my computer. That's all I can tell you. Okay? This is so amazing. What pshat? V'igar hagadula hazot magia l'Mordechai. But who really should get all of the gadula? Mordechai. So the whole thing was specious. Ubezeh siper hashgachat Hashem. And now the Malbim takes it back from just the dramatic to being really meta shemayet hazot. And from this you can see the hashgacha, the unbelievable providence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ech ba'otor harega. How at that exact moment shechashav Haman Levakesh Nefesh Hatzadik Litloto. How at that moment, when Haman was ready to ask for permission to murder Mordechai, Nehefach Hadavar, the whole thing was, you know, Nahafachu, Nahafachu. Everything was turned on its head. Right?
And he got rid of a generation. Got rid of all of his sons.
All of his sons. Ki nitvadel lemelech shegedula taman. Magila Mordechai. Now he knows the truth. And now, allow me just to be a little punny, he also knows the consequences. Next, Gimel. Now, you'll see suddenly, at least Al of the Malbim, the king, now knows all. And now he's going to suddenly be a little bit crafty. Look at his question to Haman. Vayomar HaMelech, Mana se yakar ugedula l'mordechai. Well, it's not to Haman, but this is asking everybody in his group. What was done? What kind of great stuff? Yakar, right? Like, yikar means, you know, what beloved activity. And greatness, L'mordechai also. What happened? Now that the, says the Malbim, now that the truth is revealed, and I know who the good guy is and who the bad guy is, what did Mordechai get? But don't think for a moment that he let the cat out of the bag. Because he knew what, you know, you know what goes on in a court. Vayamru na'aleh ha-melech. So basically, the youngsters, the politically unsavvy, right? Misharatav, they responded from his servants. Lo na'aseimo davar. Nothing happened. Nothing happened to Mordechai. In other words, until this point, he hasn't been what, everyone?
Rewarded.
He hasn't been rewarded. How could he have been rewarded? Because until this moment, it wasn't revealed totally. Yeah, he got to sit in the Shahar Melech. Not bad. Okay, not bad at all. But is that the same thing as being rewarded? Okay. Next. Vayomar HaMelech mi bechatzer. The king said, who's in the courtyard? Vahaman ba lechatzer. Beit HaMelech achitzona. Leimor lemelech lidlodad Mordechai. And at that moment, tell me this doesn't sound like the greatest, lahavdil af avdalot, the greatest scene from Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Okay? Haman came at that exact moment to the chatzer Beit HaMelech Hachitzona, the outside one, Leimor, lemelech, to tell the king, lit lot at Mordechai ha'eitz, asher heichin lo, to hang Mordechai on the tree. Okay? So, what happens? If you don't see that as hashgacha pratit, then it doesn't really exist. Vayomru na'arei ha'melech elav. And the king's unsophisticated courtiers said to him, Hine Haman omeid b'chatzer. Haman is standing there. Vayomer ha'melech yavo. Have him come. Okay? And the last pasuk we'll do for tonight, and it's where I actually drew my line, and I said, okay, I can't do more than this. Vayavo Haman. And Haman came. Vayomer lo ha'melech. And the king said to him, look how cagey he is suddenly. Ma la'asod ba'ish asher ha'melech chafetz bikaro. What should be done to the person that the king desires great things for him? Says the Malbim, what's he missing? It says bikaro, but it doesn't say the gedula to. Why doesn't it say the gedula to? Because Haman couldn't go any higher. This way, in a very nuanced way, what does Haman wind up thinking?
It's for him.
For Yom Haman Belibo. So therefore Haman said in his heart, Lemi Yachpotz HaMelech, who does the king desire la'asot yakar v'yoter mimeni? Who could he possibly want to honor more than me?
What an ego.
This is a different sefer than anything that we'd imagine. It's so exciting. And there's so many nuances. And at this point, Achashverosh comes off not quite as foolish as he may have in the past. I'm not telling you that, you know, he and Einstein are equals, but he's not as bad as he used to be. And there's a sense, a small sense of righteousness, and Achashverosh is going to make things right.
Good for Esther, that he's turning his ways.
Exactly. Especially, see, he knows Mordechai is Yehudi. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know about Esther.
Not yet. Mm-hmm.
And now, that's all he needs to hear. Not only did Haman lie about who saved the king, but he also is going to go kill the queen. And to make things even better, you know what it says. When Haman pleads for his life, he falls down onto the bed where Esther is staying. And especially in those days, what did the king say? What? You're going to attack the queen? And I'm here? So at that point, of course, as you all know, Haman knew things were not going his way. Okay, so next week, in a shir near you, God willing, we'll pick up with Pasuk Zion. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you. Thank you.